The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwelling places of Jacob. May God be pleased to help us in a proper understanding of His Word. Amen. Several years ago, a former dean of students at the college said to me as we were visiting, "I get more out of staying at home on Sunday morning reading my Bible in private than I ever get going to church. Period." End of quote. And he was quite serious about this. He was quite serious about this because, frankly, this fellow had quite a low view of the church. And we talked about it some, but he still retained that posture. "I get much more out of staying home, reading my Bible in private, and I suppose with a cup of coffee, and I get much more out of that than attending worship." And this may have been the case for him for a number of reasons, but it ought not to be the case for any of us. It really shouldn't, because coming together on the Lord's Day for our worship is a special time, and it's a time designated by God, and it's a time that we should, as Derek earlier mentioned, we should look forward to, and it's a time that we have set aside by God to come into His presence in a special and a vital way. And I think that's what our psalm portion tells us this morning. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwelling places of Jacob. And so, in response to this text, I'm laying before you this idea at the head of the outline. If we follow God, we love the gates of Zion, public worship, more than the dwelling places of Jacob, private worship. And that's a very interesting, profound, and challenging idea for us, it seems to me, especially in light of our own culture and our own society. So let's look at this text briefly. Again, Psalm 87 and verse 2. "The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwelling places of Jacob." God does love the dwelling places of Jacob. He loves the family. He loves godly individuals. And He does love their worship. As you know, we have, at least in a feeble way, attempted to promote private worship, private devotions. And we have made a small effort at promoting the worship of families together. And we've provided daily devotional guides, and we've encouraged families to worship together, and even have had some classes in that sort of thing where we've encouraged the worship of the family. And God does love the worship of the family. And I think that's what the text is telling us. The dwelling places of Jacob, the psalmist speaks of. And Jacob is really Israel, the nation of Israel. And the dwelling places are the tents of Jacob, the homes of Jacob, the individual families in the nation of Israel. And God loved those individual families. And He had certain care for them and a certain desire for them as they progressed in their walk with Him. And part of the prescription was their individual worship and their worship as families. And we have witness of the various families in the Old Testament worshiping together. And the text tells us that God loves the dwelling places of Jacob. And I know that God loves your homes, your families. Isn't that a good thing? And isn't it a good thing that you can understand that the family, of course, we have this organization, Focus on the Family. We don't, but I shouldn't put it that way. There is this organization, Focus on the Family, where the family is promoted and the breakdown in our society and our culture is being fought. The family is loved by God. The dwelling places, your homes, are loved by God. Understand, dear friends, that that is indeed the case. And whether you're single or whether you're a couple or whether you have children, this is the case. Praise be unto God that this is so. And the text also says that the Lord loves the gates of Zion. And what are the gates of Zion? Well, Zion in the Old Testament, of course, was the hill of God. It was the location of Jerusalem, the city of God, the location of the temple of God, the place designated by God where He had that temple built. And it was the center of worship in the nation of Israel. It was the center of the formal worship of the people of God. And the Lord loves the gates of Zion. That's what the psalmist says, the place of worship. And Zion is a picture of the New Testament church. In Hebrews, in the 12th chapter, the writer to the Hebrews talks about the people of Israel gathering around Mount Sinai. And he says of Christians, you have not come to a burning mountain and to thunder and lightning, but you, Christians, have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the church of the firstborn, to the new Jerusalem. And that's what it is. The church of Jesus Christ is the city of God, the place of the dwelling of God. And we'll look at that more particularly in a moment. But the picture is Old Testament Zion portrays the New Testament church. And God loves Zion. God loves His church, the body for whom Christ died. Isn't that what the text tells us? Look at it again. Look at it again. The Lord loves the gates of Zion. The Lord loves the dwelling places of Jacob. But the contrast and the comparison is inescapable, is it not? Isn't it inescapable? The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. And if the dwelling places of Jacob represent individual homes, and the gates of Zion are a picture of the church of Jesus Christ, there is an extraordinary love which God has for His church in comparison to the love which He has for individuals and the love which He has for families. Not saying that that love is not existent. Not trying to say that at all. But amplifying and building up that love which God has for His church, for the gates of Zion. It's very interesting, isn't it? That individuals like this fellow that I mentioned earlier would say, I sit by myself with my Bible. It's better for me than coming to public worship in the church. Isn't that just the opposite of what God says in His scriptures here? And yet here is a, quote, dedicated evangelical, Bible-believing, conservative, born again. What other adjective can we use? Christian. And the position that he takes, quite an influential position, influential with the lives of many, many young people, is quite the opposite of Scripture. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. It is so good to see men and women so desirous of being in public worship. And you see that especially in elderly folks who are infirm and unable to attend public worship. And they long to be with God's people. Shouldn't that be the case with all of us? And I say that not just because I'm the pastor of a particular church, a particular congregation, but because this is the perspective of the Bible. I have in the bulletin some notes. If you'd look at them with me. Some notes from Spurgeon on Psalm 87 and verse 2. And Spurgeon is commenting on this very text, and he gives to us a particular idea, a particular spin, if you will. And it comes out of the Puritan mold. It comes out of how the Puritans understood the Scriptures and this particular text. And in the middle of the paragraph, or about a third of the way down in this paragraph, it says, God delights in the prayers and praises of Christian families and individuals. But he has a special eye to the assemblies of the faithful. And he has a special delight in their devotions, in their church capacity. The great festivals, when the crowds surrounded the temple gates, were fair in the Lord's eyes. And even such is the general assembly and church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. This should lead each separate believer to identify himself with the church of God, where the Lord reveals his love the most. There should each believer most delight to be found. Our own dwellings are very dear to us, but we must not prefer them to the assemblies of the saints. And isn't that the case? The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. College students, especially I encourage you to be regular in your attendance at the public worship of our God. And I say that especially because those who are in regular attendance in the public worship of God during their college years are very likely, after they have cultivated that habit, being away from home, are very likely to continue that habit of being in the gates of Zion, in the assembly of God's people, once they have left college. It will be a priority with them because they know the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. And statistically, this is the case. This is the case. Well, let's look at our text again, pressing on. Because if indeed there is this comparison which is given we must realize that God places a priority upon His public worship. One of the references I have is back to Psalm 84. Would you look at it with me? Psalm 84 and verse 10. We're going to go back and look at the very first of this psalm also, but David says, verse 10 in Psalm 84, "A day in your courts is better than a thousand outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Now think about this. The Lord loves the gates of Zion. And when it was that David and his company were cast out of Jerusalem, and Absalom his son had taken the people by deception under his rule, and David in the wilderness cried out, "Oh, how good it would be to be in the courts of my God. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than be in the tents of wickedness, than be outside." And he longed to be there in the temple confines, in the worship of God. You know, some would say, "I can worship God just as well on the golf course as in church on Sunday." And what would your response to that be? Yeah, right. And some would maintain that. But it's not a very far step, is it, to take the position, "I can worship God just as well at home as I can with the people of God on a Lord's Day morning. I can worship God watching the 700 Club on television just as well as I can with God's people in the church. I can worship God just as well by clicking my mouse and reading the devotions on the computer as I can by coming to the house of God and worshiping with God's people." Is it much different? Not really. Not really. And isn't that what the psalmist is saying in Psalm 84? And isn't that what the psalmist is saying in Psalm 87? "I want to be there with God's people." Now, why should this be the case? Well, I say in the fourth point in the outline, God shows His partiality, and I particularly use that term, His partiality for His church and her worship, by giving her, that is His church, His special presence. Look at Psalm 84 and verses 1 and 2. Look at what David says here. "Oh, how lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed, even yearned, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God." How lovely are your dwelling places. And the idea here is, dear friends, that the Church of Jesus Christ is a special dwelling place of God in the Spirit, as Paul says it. We are very slow to catch this idea. Because we will say, undoubtedly, well, God is everywhere. And since God is everywhere, I can worship Him in front of my television set or in front of my computer terminal or in my bedroom or on the golf course just as well as I can worship Him with God's people. Because He's everywhere. But we have to catch the idea that the picture is slightly different. The temple in the Old Testament was the special dwelling place of God. And the people would come to Him. The high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, into His very presence. This was the idea. And if we carry that picture over into the New Testament properly, the Church of Jesus Christ is the special dwelling place of God. And when the people of God come to worship Him, they come to draw near to God. And how often does the pastor in the congregation say, as we draw near to God, let's worship Him. And is that just a trivial saying? I don't think so. I don't think so. God is present. The Puritans used to say, in the midst of His people gathered for worship in a gracious way. He's present everywhere. He's essentially present in hell. But He's not graciously present in hell. He is graciously present in heaven, in His fullness. And He is graciously present among His people, in His church. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. And then too, God shows His partiality for His church and her worship by giving her His special blessing. I'd like us to look at Psalm 73 in this regard. Please turn to Psalm 73. First of all, verses 1 and 2. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant, and I saw the prosperity of the wicked. At our college Bible study last Lord's Day evening, when I asked those who were present, topics for discussion, one of the first topics that was requested was that topic we are discussing this evening. Why do good or bad things happen to good people? Why do these bad things happen? It's a source of deep consternation. And here the psalmist is also in deep despair. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. What's the deal here, God? What is the deal here? I'm trying to serve You, and I get trash in my life, dumped in abundance, and those wicked people who are across the street are driving that Mercedes and don't seem to have any difficulty at all. Well, that is a source of consternation, isn't it? And what does the psalmist say? Look down at verses 16 and 17. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight, until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. When I came into the assembly of God's people, and the blessing of God came in the assembly of the people where God was graciously present, my eyes were opened to the end of the wicked, and I understood in a better way the things of God. And my heart had the answer, and my mind had the answer, and my emotions had the answer. And I was brought into a place of peace and rest before God. And where was it? When I came into the sanctuary, he says, into the worship of God. Think about heaven and the corporate nature of heaven. Is heaven going to be so compartmentalized that each one of us has a private space shut off from everyone else, and we privately worship God? Not at all. The glory of it is that corporate scene in which myriads upon myriads are together, and they lift their voices to God in praise. And in that corporate setting, they know God. And in a microcosm, we have it today. As we are the people of God on the peripheries of heaven, in worship before Him. I thank God for that. I really do. It's a special place of blessing, the church of God. And God shows His partiality for His church and her worship by designing it the place to seek Him. We've been looking at Deuteronomy. And if you've turned back to Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verses 6 or 5 and 6, you see what the Lord has to say. Please look at Deuteronomy 12, verses 5 and 6. Deuteronomy 12, 5 and 6. But you shall seek the Lord at the place which the Lord your God will choose from all your tribes, to establish His name there for His dwelling. And there you shall come. There you shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the contributions of your hand, your votive offerings, your freewill offerings, the firstborn of your herd and of your flock. There was a place designated among the people of Israel for the worship of God. And it was Mount Zion. It was that holy hill. It was that temple precinct in which God dwelt in a special way, and in which the blessing of God might be seen. And it was the place, God says, where you should seek me. Where you should seek me. And so it is today. If indeed the church is the special dwelling place of God in the Spirit, and if indeed it is the place of blessing, it is the place where we ought together to seek His face. And to expect and anticipate His blessing. What do you think? Does it ring true? I'd like you to look at this little sheet again. Spurgeon quotes David Clarkson, another expositor, In his commentary, The Treasury of David, Spurgeon's commentary on the Psalms, some absent themselves from public worship under pretense that they can serve the Lord at home as well in private. How many are apt to say they see not, but their time may be as well spent at home in praying, reading some good book, or discoursing on some profitable subject, as in the use of ordinances in public assemblies. Yes, of course that's the case. But again, the psalmist says, the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. And then on the other side of the page, on the third line down, they see not the great blessing God has annexed to public worship more than to private. Oh, but if it be thus, if one be as good as the other, what means the Lord to prefer one before the other? In other words, if it's just as good to worship God on the golf course, what's the church all about anyway? Why does it even exist? It exists, dear friends, because it's the special dwelling place of God. It's the place of special blessing of God. And it's the place designed by God that we ought to seek Him. Matthew Henry, God has a love for the dwellings of Jacob, has a gracious regard to religious families, and accepts their family worship. Yet he loves the gates of Zion better, not only better than any, but better than all of the dwellings of Jacob. God was worshipped in the dwellings of Jacob, and family worship is family duty, which must by no means be neglected. Yet when they come in competition, public worship, all things being equal, is to be preferred before private. God loves the dwelling places of Jacob, but he loves the gates of Zion more. That's the message this morning. And it's the message this morning because I think we need it. I think we need it in a couple of ways. As a pastor, one of the saddest things I do week by week is fill out a list of people who are not present in worship in our own congregation. And very often, that list numbers 30 to 40 people. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. As a pastor, one of the most difficult things for me personally to deal with is this. I've had a very rough week, and it's really hard for me to get up and get my family together and come to worship. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. As a pastor, it really saddens my heart when college students, not those of you who are present here this morning, too consumed to come to worship. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. And if we profess to follow the Lord our God, I submit to you that we ought to be similarly in love with the church and love the worship of our God more than all. That's His posture, and that ought to be ours also. Let's pray together. Father, in many ways, Lord, we lack in understanding regarding your plans, your purposes, your dealings with us. Fill our hearts, O God, with your Spirit and with your Word, and conform our hearts, our minds, our wills to your Word. And give us, O God, a love for your church and your worship, the kind of love that you have. Bless us to this end, we pray. In Jesus' name.